Good morning. It's like a pretty full house. It's good to see that. Let's praise the Lord in song this morning. Let's take the favorite gospel songs, turn number 41. Sounding good this morning. Turn with me to number 182.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Needed more men to sing on that one. Take up that bass part there. All you gentlemen need to come in on those bass parts, you know, whether you're a tenor or not. I get amazed with my son-in-law's father. He's one of those men that can sing the ladies' part, you know. He's up there high, but he'll drop down as low as he can to sing the bass part sometimes is what he'll do. So I get amazed with that. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out today for our service today. I hope you've had a good week. Blessed to be in the house of the Lord today, aren't we? It's the best place you can be, and I hope and pray today that you get a blessing out of being in the house of God. And I hope that the Lord just blesses us with some things happening today that maybe we haven't saw in a while. Maybe that would be a good thing. Maybe it would be somebody getting saved. That would be something special today as far as I'm concerned. And I just hope and pray that we can be about God's business on this week. And today we have several visitors with us today. Thank all of you for coming to be with us today. I think some are for the first times, or at least that I remember. I'll say it that way. And we're just glad that you're here with us today. I do have a little bit of formality today. Sister Terry, just about a month ago, and we're a little bit behind on this, the church voted to always give a Bible to anyone that we baptize. Sorry, Brother Gary. You came otherwise, but we're thankful to have you too. But the ones that are baptized, we present a new Bible to Sister Terry at this time. And I hope and pray that you wear it out, is what we hope that you do, studying with it. Love you. Thank you for being with us. We're a little bit late with that, but we had trouble getting the Bible out from the place where we get them from. And hopefully she has not fallen too far behind in her study. But as I said, I hope that she will wear that Bible out. One of the things that I found after my mother and father passed away, and most of you have heard me tell about this, I found my ancestors' family Bibles. And this goes back to my great-great-great-grandfather. And it was in pretty, we'll say, pretty much poor condition. But you're talking about the early 1800s, so you would somewhat expect that. I found also his son's and his family's family Bible. And then I found that grandson, which would have been my great-grandfather's Bible upstairs, along with several other Bibles that he had. Now, this is one thing that I like to brag about my Pappy Sanderson. He had all of those Bibles, and every one of them was wore out. And when I mean wore out, the pages were thin and tore sometimes, and the backs were in poor condition, and sometimes the pages was even falling out. It showed a great amount of use. There's not many people today that will wear a Bible out, and I'm thankful that's the legacy that Pappy Sanderson left with. Our Sunday school lesson today was about how that we are to be showing our younger generation the good things of God. I'm going to put it in that way, but Brother Stewart used it basically as talking about the young, showing the people about our testimonies and telling about being saved, and that is very important. I do believe that, and we need to do that more. But there's other things that we can do that can show people about our salvation just in our day-to-day lives. I don't want to downplay this in any way. Tell everybody you can about your salvation. That's the first question that we have when somebody passes. I wonder if they're saved. That's always our first question. Are they saved? If you've told them, they know, don't they? So make sure you tell that, But also live it so that they'll know it by your very life is what they what you need to do. All right, we'll move right along with our service today. We're going to have our children's church. For all of our visitors, what we do, we gather the kids over into a certain place and we have just a little bit of time with our young kids. Everybody that will, come right over here. Everybody come over here today. Good to see all of you. Not coming today? Come on. I'm not going to take you cookies this time. She had some fudge stripe cookies back there. I thought she was giving them to me earlier, but she said they was hers. All right, kids. Good to see y'all today. How are y'all? Okay, familiar story today. How many of you know who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was? You know them, those names? Can you tell me the story? Okay, tell me the story. Don't want to? Okay. Y'all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were young Israelite and young men who were taken prisoner back to Babylon. And there came a time when the king wanted them to bow down to his big statue of whatever it was. But what he wanted them to do was everybody bow when they played the music. Well, y'all tell me, what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do when they played the music? They did not bow. Good job. They did not bow. So why would they not bow? Because, right, it's not God. It's not God. That idol was not God. And they could only bow to God Almighty. Now, what they did was something miraculous. And I'm not going to get into so much about the story that they did as far as them going into the fiery furnace. But what they did was show a great big witness to everybody around them. I've often wondered how many other people that were of the Jewish people bowed that day. I've often wondered that. But these three young men were brave. Were they brave or did they just have confidence in God? You know, according to the scriptures, they had confidence in God. And what it says, he said, our God, if it's his will, he'll deliver us out of your hand, no matter what you do to us. And we know the rest of the story, how that the king, he had the furnace fired up hot as everything. And what he did with them, he cast them into that fire. And a little bit later on, when they thought that they should have been dead, they saw them walking around in the furnace. You see, they had confidence in God that God was going to take care of them. And he did. And that's one of the great things about God. He's always there if we'll trust him. And that's what I always encourage you to do, is trust in the Lord. Okay, that's all I'm going to hold you for today. Thank you for coming up. Good to see all of you. Thank you for the good answers, girls. Good to see each and every one here today. Hope you've had a good blessing this week. As I said earlier, we want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Yes, ma'am. Bless your heart, Sister Cheryl. Appreciate that praise there this morning. Somebody else got a word on your heart. We're thankful to see each and every one here today. There were several prayer requests during our Sunday school this morning. Also, I had one or two mentioned to me after prayer, after Sunday school. And I will ask you to remember these prayer requests also. They're needful that God deal with these subjects. And let's pray for them. I'm thankful that God is blessing But we need more blessings. And I want us to get a good spiritual blessing today. It's good to have everybody with us. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart this morning? Yes. Do need to continue to remember Sister Nettie in our prayers. Somebody else? Sister Linda, we need to continue to remember her. We had the memorial service for Brother Sonny last week. And she asked me to pass along to the church how much she appreciated everything that was done. I'm about to forget this one. We passed along the money this week that we had voted. The church had voted to help both Belize and Guatemala. Both of the brethren that we passed these checks to were very thankful. And I'll try to tell you in when we've got a little more time what they're planning on doing with this money. But let's keep those works in our prayers. We've got we're also helping some other works too. And we've got some other things that we're trying to help. God's been blessing us, hasn't He? We need to bless also, don't we? So let's keep those things on our hearts. Anybody else got a prayer request? It's not often we get to have preacher brethren with us today. And I thought earlier I might, should have just asked him to come on up here and preach. We're good to have Brother Danny Rains, he's shaking his head. No, I wasn't going to do you that way, Brother Danny. But it's good to have Brother Danny Rains with us today. I want to call on him to lead us in prayer at this time. But as we say always, everybody pray in your own way. Brother Danny, if you would.
All right. Let's continue our song service. Let's turn to number 202.
Thank you, Brother Fabian. Thank you, Ms. Rachel. Good morning again, everyone. I do want to say once again, we're glad to have all of our visitors with us today. If you consider yourself a visitor with us, thank you for being here. We have several out today because of the Do-Re-Mi group is in concert, I guess you could say, at one of our local churches. And we do need to remember them in our prayers today as they are doing a singing today at that sister church. And so do remember them in your prayers. We miss them when they're not here. I will say this to every one of you. You may not think that nobody misses you when you're here, not here, but I miss you. I do. I miss seeing each and every face each and every Sunday. And we talk about it a lot of times on the way home. Well, so-and-so wasn't there today. And you're included in that. So does anybody have a word on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? We're going to take our reading lesson today from the 14th chapter of the book of Jeremiah this morning for a reading lesson. The 14th chapter of Jeremiah. I asked you to pray for me. If this message goes the way I think it's going to go, it's not going to be an easy message today. So be prayerful and pray that the Lord will help in this message today. As I said, I thought about asking Brother Danny to preach, and he done shook his head no. But he would do a much better job today than I would. And so we're glad to have he and his family with us today. And we appreciate each of you being here today. As we said, we are taking a reading lesson today from the 14th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. As a little bit of background, Jeremiah was a prophet to Jerusalem, Judea, and that area is who he was a prophet to. He was actually of the tribe of one of the tribes of the lower or the upper nation, Israel. He came out of there to come down to Jerusalem and to preach and to testify. He was known as the weeping prophet because he wept so much while he preached. At this particular time, I think you can start to see in his prayer that he is basically asking the Lord for mercy for Jerusalem. Why did Jerusalem need mercy? At this particular period of time, they had been a people that had strayed away from God. They had idol worship. Even in the temple of God, they had brought idols into it. They had even gotten to the place where that they were doing like the people up in the northern kingdom had done. They had started worshiping idols and were actually sacrificing their children unto these idols. Can you imagine doing such a thing? Just taking a child of yours, whether it was, we'll say a little baby or even maybe a pretty much a grown child and offering it to an idol god. Can you imagine doing something like that? But they were doing that in Jerusalem. And that's hard for us to believe, but they were doing that. But Jeremiah was basically asking for mercy for Jerusalem and the people of Judea. Now, it says in the 7th verse, O Lord, though our iniquity testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior, therefore, in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Now remember, Jeremiah is talking to the Lord here. He said, Lord, why should you be one that's basically just passing through? You should be in our midst, in other words. And he says, why shouldest thou be as a man astonished? In other words, why should God be surprised at these things, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord unto this people. This is the Lord speaking now. Back to Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord unto this people. Thus have they loved to wonder. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. Can you imagine being told by God not to pray for a group of people? When they fast, I will not bear their cry, not hear their cry, excuse me. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblations, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Now Jeremiah speaks then again. He said, then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto me, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me again, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them, They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and of deceit of their heart. That's reading verses 7 through 14 for our reading lesson this morning. And in this message today, the last three Sundays, and I made mention of this last Sunday, that it's unusual for me in that I had preached three sermons that were basically to try to cause everyone to be lifted up, to try to cause you to think about what we need to be doing for the Lord. And the first message that I preached on was the mystery of the Scripture, is what I preached on. And the idea was that I was encouraging you to study your Bibles, to learn what was in there, to look for the deeper mysteries of the Word of God. 2 weeks ago, we preached on a subject. Brother Danny brought this out in a message a few years ago, the unction from the Spirit. And the unction was a desire or an anointing of God by His Holy Spirit in us, and we are to be using that Spirit. So it was an encouragement for us to follow the Spirit of God. Last week, the message was a light to the Gentiles, or you might say unto all those that are ungodly. This week's message today, I will basically say, you can take this message in two different ways. How you can take it as far as this nation is concerned. I'm not usually a preacher that preaches about the nation as itself and preaches about it, but sometimes it's needful that we be warned of things. So this message today, you can take it as far as a nation. But I will also say this. Whenever that you see that the Bible is talking about Judah and Jerusalem, or Zion as it was called, it is actually a reference to the true church of God. That's what it's directed at. So today I want us to keep in mind that we as a church today are not above wandering away from God. That's going to be our basic thought today, is about wandering away from God. Now you might say today, why is it necessary for us to read these scriptures here and see what happened as far as Judah and Jerusalem is concerned? Actually, just a short while after this, not many years after this, God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar and his great army to come and besiege Jerusalem as itself. And as they besieged it, all the people had gathered into the city. And as they were there in the city, as it says down here in these last verse, they were under the sword, first of all, but they were also starving to death. They were in the midst of a famine, you might say. Because that the army was about them, they could not go out and raise their crops. They could not go out and eat of their fig trees and their olive trees. They were not allowed to go out there because that King Nebuchadnezzar was all around them. His army was all around them, and he was not allowing them to come out. If they came out, they were immediately taken prisoner. They were immediately taken into his army, and they were made to serve him. Now, you might ask the question, why was these things written? Well, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 11th verse, Paul makes this statement, not only about this, but basically about all of the Old Testament. And he says, now all these things happeneth unto them for examples, is what he says. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, my friends, today it is necessary that we have an understanding about things that God has set forth that's going to happen. Not that he has predestined them, but because of sin, it is necessary for us to understand that we are not above everybody else. How many of you today, as far as listening to the public, we'll say the preachers, the people that have somewhat of authority, they say everything is going to be all right. Don't worry about the fact that we are suffering in this way or that way. Don't worry because we have plenty of food. Don't worry that there are wars that are on hand. Don't worry about those things. Everything is going to be all right. You see, in that day, there was preachers, prophets, if you want to call them that, that were doing basically the very same thing. They were preaching unto the people, well, Nebuchadnezzar's not coming in here. We are Jerusalem, we are Judea, and we are God's people. We are the descendants of Abraham, and because of that, we don't have to worry about the devil or this devil coming in. We don't have to worry about him. Many times today in our churches, we have individuals that comes up and they'll say, well, because we are so-and-so Baptist church, we don't have to worry about the devil. I've got news for you. The Bible tells us he has a seat. That's what he said in Revelation, didn't he? Sometimes I'll say it just the way that Brother Gentry said it years ago. Sometimes I think his seat is right up here with me is where it's at. I do. I think he's right here with me. But I'm also of the opinion he's sitting out there with you also, isn't he? He's out there with you. And in each and every service is what he's doing. Now, in our message today, and we're going to especially look at the 10th verse, and he says, thus have they loved to wonder. Now, you might say, well, what is he wondering about? That's usually the term that people use today. He is wondering or he's thinking about. But that is not what he's talking about. A better definition for that, as far as Scripture is concerned, can be found in the 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers, in the 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers. And this was when the children of Israel had went in to the promised land with their 12 spies, and they had found it as God had said, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And the scripture tells us that it was a place in which that they were able to go in and take, according to two of the spies. But the other 10 said, there's giants in the land. There's things there that we cannot overcome. There's things that we cannot do. And all of the people of Israel heeded unto them. And because of their unbelief, God says, you will wander in the wilderness. And what wandering meant in that place, in that scripture, it means you're going to go in circles, basically. They left being right at the threshold of the promised land, and they went back south. They went to another area, and they suffered in that place. Now, the reason that they had to do that was because of their unbelief. And in 40 years, after all the men that had basically said, we will not go in because we cannot take it, all those men from a certain age up, the scripture said, when they'd all died, God said, you can go in now. But they had to wander around in the wilderness because of unbelief. Now, in the 32nd chapter and the 15th verse, it says, for if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness. And ye shall destroy all his people. Now, the thing that caused them to have to wander in the wilderness was the very fact that they had not believed God, they had not trusted in him, but they had not sought out the Lord himself. We as a church today, it is important for us to seek God's guidance. That's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, how that the Spirit will help us. He'll give us direction in those things. But if we do not heed unto the Spirit, I'm going to ask you something. What do you think will happen? Are we like the men that were speaking unto Jerusalem in that day? Oh, it's all going to be all right. We have those kinds of people in our churches today, don't we? We have people in there that will say, oh, just let it go. It'll be okay. Don't worry about the sin that's going on out here among us. We need to get our sin. We will be okay because we are who we say we are. He said here in Jeremiah's prayer, I want you to notice what he started out with. Oh Lord, though our iniquities testify against us. We're all guilty of that, aren't we? We're all guilty of sin. We all have our doubts and our ways of doing things that are against God, don't we? So it's important for us to recognize our iniquities. Now, I believe that Jeremiah recognized the iniquities of the people of Jerusalem. He recognized them. Notice what he says next. He said, our iniquities testify against us. Do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many and have sinned against thee. I'll ask you today, there's people, let me back up and say this first. There's people out there that says, quote, Baptist preachers, Baptist people, do not believe in backsliding. I do. I've been there. Backsliding is when that you stray away from God, is what it is. When you stray away from God, and what I mean is that when God is telling you that you need to be in this place, when that God is telling you that you need to do this thing for Him, that this individual might hear about the Lord, when He is telling us to do these things, what do we do on many occasions? Instead of stepping forward, we back up. That's backsliding. Backsliding does not take away your salvation, but what it does, it takes us away from following God. Backsliding takes us to a place where that when God is speaking to us, we're not listening. I want one of us as parents, when our children do not listen to us, what is our general reaction? Did you not hear me? Did you not pay attention to what I was saying? Did I not tell you to do this? Or did I not tell you to not do this? Our general reaction is, then you will have to suffer. And that is what God is saying to us today. As we struggle with these very thoughts of our troubles and our sorrows in our life, and we struggle with what the world is putting upon us today, know that God is there with us all the time. Now, let's get down to where God is in this message. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, and they have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. It's important for us today to be accepted of God. Many people cry out, oh, I've accepted Christ, don't they? Many people today will say that I have made a commitment unto the Lord. And many people will say, well, in my commitment, I'll do what I can for God. But what is God requiring of us? He wants us to meet His conditions, doesn't He? He wants us to follow Him, no matter where that it may be. He wanted the children of Israel to cast out that sin that was in Jerusalem. He wanted them to cast it away from them. They had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to cast it out. Sometimes they got a king like Hezekiah that took many of the things away from them. Then somebody else would come along and they would stray again. They'd wander off. Now I asked you a question today. How easy would it be for you to wander off from the truth? What do I mean by wandering off from the truth? People will say today, well, there's all kinds of churches in this town. Yes, I agree, there is. By name, they're churches. And by name, they say that they follow God. Do you realize the people of Jerusalem were saying, we follow God? They didn't say, which God? They didn't say how they were following Him. But if we go over into the book of Psalms, into 119th chapter, and you look at the 10th verse, listen to what the psalmist said. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart have I sought thee. You realize today there's many individuals out there that never get their heart into seeking God. What they generally do is that they basically will say, I'm making this decision. I've told you before about the lady that I worked with years ago. When I asked her about when she got saved, she said, I decided to turn my life around. I decided to quit doing drugs. I decided to quit drinking. I decided to quit hanging out with all those men. She said, I decided to do them. She said, I turned myself around. Where was God in that? Well, I'll tell you where God was. He was on the outside looking in. Where does God want to be at? He wants to be in our hearts, doesn't he? He wants us to be paying attention, as we said a few weeks ago, to the unction of the Spirit, that anointing of the Spirit, the rubbing in of the Spirit, that desire for us to work work for him. Listen to the remainder of verse. He said, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Again, we're back to wandering around. Where does it always start when that an individual is going to wander away from God? Where does it start? Usually it's one little thought. It's one little way. Now, in my experience, and you know I've been preaching for several years, and I want to take this back to the church. We've kind of talked about the nation going away from God, and that I'm going to say this today. Our nation needs to turn back to God. They're going to be just like Jerusalem and Judea if they don't turn back to God, is what they're going to be. But what about our churches? Can they turn away from God? You better believe they can. If you go back into Revelation, the second and third chapter, and you look at those seven churches that are mentioned there, and you go back into those areas, will you find the church of Ephesus? Actually, no. You find a church there that claims to be the church of Ephesus, but they have no doctrine like we teach in our churches. They don't have the doctrine of God. They believe in baptismal regeneration. That's not going to get you to heaven. They believe in following their works. That's not going to get you to heaven. They claim to worship God, yet they have Christ's mother as a statue in those places. That's not going to get you to heaven. We find that the only way that an individual is going to get to heaven is by Jesus Christ. And how? Through him? Through faith in him. Now, as we look at these things, for a church to slip away, what is one of the easiest things for us to take for granted? Is it our salvation? Brother Stewart done a good lesson today in our Sunday school lesson today, talking about our salvation, about sharing our salvation. And he talked about Brother Jones, who was years ago, and how that everybody in that church knew his testimony because he loved to tell about where, when and where he got saved. But it was also an unusual place in the fact that he got saved down in the belly of a ship. That's unusual. So you remember that. I remember hearing years ago a man make a testimony. He got saved in a submarine down in under the water. I had a friend, he's talking about Paul and Silas today, that how the jailer got saved there. I had a friend, I asked him back several years ago, I said, Hugh, when did you get saved? And he told me a year. I said, where'd you get saved at? He said, actually, and he laughed a little bit, he said, Ricky, I got saved in jail. See, God saves anywhere. So salvation is not usually where we take it for granted at first, but it's actually in the Word of God that we take for granted, not knowing what the truth is and what we need to hear out of this blessed book. Now listen to the words of the prophet Amos. Go to the book of Amos, chapter 8. This is verses I hadn't used in a good while, but I want you to listen to what it says. Amos was a prophet out of Jerusalem, and he was down in Israel telling them their sin. He says in the 11th verse, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." A famine is usually what we consider being at a place where there's no food, no water, and we're starving to death. But listen to what he says. "We have a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, food, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." How can that be true when we've got churches all over this county? A famine? He didn't say hearing preaching. He said hearing the word of the Lord. How easy is it for us? It doesn't make any difference what church we go to. Have you heard that statement? When I came here a few years ago, I called everybody I could reach that was on our membership that I had phone numbers for. And I heard that statement a couple different times. Well, it doesn't make any difference. They have a good program. The youth, my kids love this church because they have a good youth program, and they're really involved with them, and they're just showing them everything. It doesn't make any difference as long as the kids are happy. Does that really make a difference? We have one sister that comes here that she talks about her granddaughter wanting her to be saved. She used to come here, and her parents, I feel sorry. Parents said we was going to lose her if we didn't find some place she could enjoy going to church. So they go to the, quote, big church. Now, we ought to be doing everything we can for our young people. Don't get me wrong. But we don't want to starve them to death spiritually either. We need to teach them about God and what He really is. Not just getting them saved. That's the most important thing. Don't get me wrong. Them getting saved is the most important thing. But they need to know what's in this book, that they will not wander away. What had happened to Jerusalem and Judea? There was people in there in those days. There was men that claimed to be prophets. There was men who were priests that were saying, well, we'll let this go right now. We'll let that go away right now. And next thing you know, it became a norm. A normal thing for them. It's not a famine of bread or water, but a famine of the word of the Lord. Now listen to this. "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Let me close out with this. There's different people here. When they moved their membership to this church, they came from a church called Brattontown Missionary Baptist Church. Several years ago, there was a man that stood up during an association meeting, and he made a lot of people mad. He said, this ground, this town, hey, it was basically, still is. Don't get me wrong. It still is a formidable area for the truth of God. But he said, this area will be a mission field someday. Oh, people got mad. Oh, he shouldn't have said that about us. He shouldn't have said that about our area. Could we here at Murfreesboro Church truthfully be a mission field one of these days? When we've got it over our door, you are entering the mission field. If we wander away from the truth of God, if we wander away, how quickly can it happen? I'm going to ask you that. How quickly can it happen? I spoke about Hezekiah a while ago. He tore down all the idols. He tore down everything that they worshiped. When his son took over, you know what happened? He put them all back up. You know how long that was? Not even 50, just about 15 years. Well, I know I'm sounding like a pessimist today. I'm not. I know this church can stand for the truth. But you've got to watch out. You've got to be not allowing yourself to wander away. Ask Brother Gary what happens to a church that wanders away. There's churches around here where our people, we thought was, I'll say this, good missionary Baptist preachers. I don't know if somebody patted them on the back so much that they thought that they knew better than anybody else or what. But they led a church completely astray. They wandered off. And now they're no more. That was, from my understanding, about 5-6 years he done that. Let me finish up with this. If you ever hear me preaching something that's not in this book, you get me out of here. That's my challenge for you. I don't care how much you think about me. You get me out of here. Because these kids, they need to hear the truth. Not only the ones that's not saved, but these that have just been saved. They need to hear the truth. And they don't need to stray away. We're still seeing it, aren't we? When our teenagers get up to the age of college, where do they go? I'm thankful, y'all guys. You're here. Stay here. Lest the church wander away. Brother Fabian, that's going to be my message today. Let us all pray for our church. The devil is waiting. He's right here among us, and he's looking to tear us up. He'd love for there to be a split in this church. He'd love for you to be angry at that one and that one to be angry at you. He'd love for the whole side of the church to be gone, wouldn't he? From my understanding, this church has went through that several times, but it's managed to keep going. You cannot allow yourselves to wander. Sinner friend, you better get ready. For without the Lord, you can't handle being away from the truth of God. While we stand and sing.
Number 273.